Good afternoon, London. Welcome to the Andrew Lawton Show here on Global News Radio 980 CFPL. It is great to have you tuned into the program here, Canada's most irreverent talk show, kicking off 3 hours of absolutely stellar, I hope, broadcasting for you to chew on as you head into the weekend. It is Friday, March 2nd, 12:07 p.m. I'm Andrew Lawton, if the name of the show didn't give you an indication of that. And we are locked and loaded for the program this afternoon. We'll talk in just a few moments' time to former cabinet minister and current Liberal MPP Deb Matthews. The Liberals, in a very novel display of their own confidence in their standing right now, reached out to me and said, hey, we'd love for you to speak to someone from the Liberal caucus about your debate and about the PC leadership race. So we will be doing post-debate analysis with Deb Matthews, and we'll also talk to Paul McKeever, who's the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario, afterwards. That's coming up in the next little while. We are back. It is 12:18 this afternoon, and the PC leadership debate on this show took place just, 23 hours ago. 23 hours ago and 12 minutes, if we're going to be really precise. And it was a lot of fun. We had the candidates in studio. They came to London, three of the four anyway. Caroline Mulroney was unavailable. The debate focused on southwestern Ontario issues, which offered a little bit of a departure from the two PC party official debates that were held in Toronto and Ottawa. And look, our whole objection that I think a lot of us raise in this region is that we don't feel necessarily represented by Toronto and Ottawa necessarily, so we want to put the region on display. That was what we did on the show there. Actually, Deb Matthews' office had reached out to me this week and said, you know what, there is an opportunity here to talk to Deb Matthews, former Deputy Premier, about the state of the PC party leadership race, what it means heading into a June election. Deb joins me on the line now. Deb, good to talk to you. Thanks very much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure, Andrew.
So you are no longer in cabinet. You're still seeing out the rest of your term as an MPP. Why are you, as a political observer, so fascinated with the PC leadership race when you could just be able to say, I'm done with politics now?
Well, I think it's hard for anybody not to be watching it. But I am co-chair of the campaign and co-director of the campaign for the Liberal Party for the province of Ontario. So I'm obviously paying a lot of attention to what the Tories are up to.
Where is it that you feel Ontarians need to pay attention the most right now to the issues facing the province? And where is it you feel the PC leadership candidates aren't meeting those needs?
Well, I think there are some issues. We've made really good progress on a lot of fronts, but there's still a lot more to do. I'm watching our healthcare system. Of course, you know, I was health minister, so I pay special interest to healthcare. I think there's more we have to do on that front. But my big worry here is that all four PC candidates now are kind of ignoring the reality that their people's guarantee without the carbon tax adds up to a $16 billion hole in their platform. So, you know, it's kind of hard to hear them talk about more ways we need to spend money when they need to cut $16 billion. So they will have to cut from healthcare. They will have to cut from education. It's ridiculous for them to be pretending that it's not a big deal to cut $16 billion. It's a huge deal. I was president of the Treasury Board. I know what it's like to go line by line through the budget, and they need to come clean with the people of the province and say, here's what we're going to have to cut.
All of those candidates have been asked that very question. If you're going to take this that was going to fund other parts of your platform out of the equation, where's that money going to come from? And all of them have given variations of the same answer, which is to do a line-by-line value for audit to see if there are ways that you can find efficiencies. Are you saying right now that you don't think there is any way at all that the provincial government, the provincial budget, could find efficiencies and cuts that don't impact service?
I can tell you, of course, there are always going to be things that you could do to save some money, but there is no chance there is $16 billion of savings there without cutting transfers to hospitals, transfers to schools, to universities. They will have to outright cut programs like OHIP Plus, that's giving every person under age 25 in this province access to free prescription medication they will have to make massive cuts. We've seen them do it before. Conservatives are good at cutting, but I think they need to come clean on where they're going to cut. And for Doug Ford to be able to with a straight face say, oh, we'll just cut 4 cents off every dollar, that means telling hospitals make do with a 4% cut in your budget. Long-term care, cut 4% of your budget. They cannot do it without making massive cuts. You know, I think what they don't understand is that the vast majority of government spending is actually in the form of transfer payments to people with disabilities, to seniors getting prescription drugs, to children's aid societies. This is money that goes from the province to organizations outside. So they need to understand that what they're talking about is massive cuts. The 100,000 job cuts that Tim Hudak promised last time around will pale in comparison to the magnitude of these cuts.
So it sounds like you're saying, Deb, that to tackle government spending is a lost cause. There's nothing that government can do to reduce spending.
Nothing, not at all. When I was in President's Treasury Board, I actually established something called the Center for Evidence-Based Decision-Making, where we really worked hard to bundle together. And this work is ongoing, so it will continue to drive results. But, you know, let me give you an example. Free tuition for 230,000 students in this province was made possible through the process of looking at expenditures and see if we could get better value for money.
But you've said that you don't think there is a way to do that will ever find $16 billion of value.
Yes, that's exactly right. There is more to do. There always will be. But it's nothing close to $16 billion. I mean, I know what those numbers mean. I sat in that room. I went through the numbers. And it has to mean massive, massive cuts.
You've said a couple of times in this discussion now that there's more to do. The Liberal Party in Ontario right now has had what most political parties anywhere in the country don't get the opportunity to do, which is basically 15 years of uninterrupted, continuous government. How do you tell people in Ontario that that isn't enough time, that there's still more that the government needs to get around to doing if they get another term?
Well, the population is changing. The needs of the economy are changing. As we deal with an aging population, as we deal with changes and improvements in medical care, we need always to be looking at new ways of doing things. So, yes, we've had 15 years, and over that time, we've seen the poverty rate for children, the number of kids in poverty has been cut in half over that period of time. The number of kids going into the justice system is far lower. There have been lots and lots of improvements, but there's a lot more to do as well.
You've also seen in that time frame hydro rates more than double, national or provincial debt that's gone from $133 billion to $320 billion. Is that something that you're proud of, or is that something that you think the government could have done a better job of dealing with?
Well, I would love to hear from opposition what they think we should have cut. We came through the big recession, you know, 2008-9, biggest recession since the Great Depression, and we made a decision then that we weren't going to cut services that people relied on, that we were going to continue to support people, and it was very difficult, I can tell you, to get from those deep deficits of, I think we were about $20 billion in deficit at that time of the recession because we chose not to cut services, back to balance. I'm very proud of the work we've done to get back to balance and at the same time make big investments. Let me just give you an example. When we were elected, the high school graduation rate in Ontario was 68%. 68% of kids graduated within 5 years from high school. It's now 86%. From 68% graduation to 86% graduation. That's possible only because we've made investments and teachers have worked hard. There are a whole bunch of things that had to happen to drive that kind of extraordinary improvement. you know, people come from around the world to look at our education system. So do I wish we had cut those investments? No, I don't. When it comes to the debt, it's of course something we have to pay attention to, but I don't hear any Tory candidates saying that they are going to actually run a surplus which will allow us to pay down the debt. What we keep our eye on, and I know this is maybe a bit too in the weeds, but the debt to GDP ratio is really the important number that matters. And we are bringing down that debt to GDP ratio.
The debt to GDP ratio may be a good measure for overall economic health, but the actual dollar value of the debt impacts the debt maintenance charges, which are occupying every year a bigger and bigger chunk of the provincial budget, which means that that is, by virtue of having a large debt, taking away from money that can be spent on schools, taking away from money that can be spent in hospitals.
So that's why it's important to really keep your eye on that, because that's true.
But why hasn't your government been keeping an eye on it?
Well, as I say, we are back in balance now, and our debt servicing cost now is actually less than it was under the Tories.
The debt is $200 billion larger, though. That is not sustainable, is it?
So the debt to GDP ratio, so debt as a share of the economy, is coming down. We're making decisions that support our economy. We're making investments. You saw the announcement today at Nestle, right?
Yes.
This is we are making investments to grow the economy, and it's working.
London North Centre member of Provincial Parliament Deb Matthews joins us on the line now, former Deputy Premier and Treasury Board President. Deb, thanks very much for coming on today.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. All the best to you. When we come back, more of the Andrew Lawton Show on 980 CFPL.